Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All right, it is Saturday, September 23rd, 2023, in time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful weekend and a wonderful first day of autumn for us here in the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. Happy spring, the vernal equinox down there. But anyway, perfect weather here today. But tonight's episode is episode number 43 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Mike Gaddy. And before we get into that, I'd like to give a shout out to RBN host Mr. Richard Carey and Mr. William Repelum for having me on their shows this week. I was on Beyond the Official Narrative with Mr. Richard Carey and an esteemed roundtable on Friday, and that show's from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And then I was on the Punch Bowl with Mr. William Wednesday from 6 to 8. So be sure to go check those shows out in the archives. And many of you know Mr. Mike Gaddy as RBN show host. He does the Friday edition of John Stadtmiller's National Intel Report from 6 to 8 Eastern. And he also has his Saturday show from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, The Rebel Madman. And he is a regular at the Dixie Republic Coffee Lounge there in Traveler's Rest, South Kakalaki, where I've had the honor and privilege of doing quite a few shows with him when they would have Dixie Republic events down there. So that's always a good time. But being cursed and all after 9/11, I don't get many invites, but the fine folks down there at Dixie Republic always make me feel welcome. Now, for the newbies, we'll open up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour. And you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about, or if you have a question for the Rebel Man Band, we'd be glad to hear you. So this is Republic Broadcasting, RBN, because you can handle the truth, and that number to call in is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can join us in the Trading Post chat room, bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. Always something going on in the Trading Post chat room, where we have the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living. But if you're looking for a knife fight, we'd just assume you go someplace else. So come out and join us sometime. So I wonder what Mr. Mike Gaddy wants to talk about tonight. The weather? Perfect autumn day here on Blackjack Mountain. I'm just about to resolve that keeping the leaves swept off Otma's porch, the famous Appalachian Porch Monkey Hangout, is pretty much a losing battle for the next few weeks, but it gives me an excuse to go out on the porch to check on the deer, the wild turkeys, and all the other critters that have moved back into the valley this week now that hunting season is at hand, even if seeing a few young bucks this year trying to scratch off their new antlers with their hind legs, which is always rather amusing. Now, as far as elk reports, the official elk spotter from the North Kakalaki Wildlife Resource Commission, elk spotter EX96, that's Echo X-ray 96, reporting no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date. Repeat, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date. So anyway, or maybe he wants to weigh in on the big Watauga County debate on which was more hateful. Angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor trailer truck in New Boone, North Kakalaki, or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Synagogue of Satan Clubhouse. Of course, this week, all we Heritage Watauga folks are wondering which is more hateful, waving a swastika flag near a synagogue or swinging and torturing an innocent chicken to death and sending its soul to hell for all eternity in a black magic spell, just so you can outsmart God for another year and not have to atone for your own numerous sins. Chicken swinging is wrong, and we're not so sure about that cold Nidra blood oath either. But or maybe he wants to talk about how special it is that the Lowe's Hardware, which had its start in my hometown of Wilkes County, North Kakalaki, and the new Florida-based Appalachian Regional Healthcare Media Medical Mafia here in New Boone are now making all official announcements over their PA systems in English and Spanish. How long before the English-speaking Heritage Appalachian population is a minority in Watauga County, thanks to Appalachian State University Chancellor Jezebel Edwards, the Bible Alliance Fellowship, and their human trafficking NGOs that are flooding the county with busloads after busloads of these people from the border, and of course the Watauga Democrat and the Jewish philanthropy going on in the area? Can we survive Jewish philanthropy? Or maybe he wants to talk about, you know, speaking of weaponized Jewish journalism, maybe he wants to talk about the Washington Post hit piece on Barstool Sports white guy helping small businesses by promoting a pizza festival. Major award-winning Washington Post really showed its journalistic super excellence this week by having Emily Hale, echo, 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 use journalism to try to undermine a benefit festival by Cheka gang-stalking Dave Portnoy and defaming him to his sponsors to intentionally do him financial and professional harm. 5G information psych warfare at its finest, just like the Watauga Democrat and the Appalachian State University Stasi. Or maybe he wants to talk about whether uppity Amalek and U.S. Congress critter Jim Jordan was intentionally being anti-Semitic during the High Holy Days by confronting child Holocaust survivor, U.S. DOJ Attorney General Merrick Garland with all his hate facts about Joe and Hunter Biden and the slime mold infested U.S. Department of Justice and FBI. I mean, what could be more anti-Semitic than asking a chicken swinger under oath about traditional Catholics? Of course traditional Catholics are terrorists because of Noahide laws. The Noahide laws state very clearly that they are all adulterers and uppity Amalek and therefore have to be beheaded for idolatry. But to try to make a devout meanie-beaning wearer admit it under oath is just pure blood libel by uppity Amalek Jim Jordan. Or maybe he wants to talk about what in the world did groom since high school Cuban USSA Senator Bob Menendez do? Here is a Congress critter that has ever since his meteoric rise to power during the Clinton years has been the poster boy for Globo Homo anti-white agenda, who is suddenly facing not only the legal system, but all of Mockingbird Media is currently in lockstep to condemn him and his second wife. Did doing deals with Egypt make those chicken swingers in Israel big mad? Or maybe he wants to talk about this special time of year when all the most learned leaders of the world invade New York City, USA, for the annual High Holy Days of the United Nations Whore Fest. Yes, this solemn and sacred annual event since the U.S. was formed after World War II in 1945 is listed as the peak season for the international sex worker trade. Of course, we can all rest assured that the Israeli Mossad and Unit 269 are recording all of it like they used to do on Jeffrey Epstein's island. Jewish democracy is in action because when the vote counts, you need to be able to count on the voter, and nothing assures that more than good blackmail tapes. So I hope they're having a great time up there in New York at the UN. Or maybe he wants to talk about Ukraine removing American board tranny spokesman Sarah Ashton, who is currently under investigation for unspecified approved statements. What is the world's record for a tranny holding down a steady job while not destroying the business with endless workplace drama? 6 months, 3 months? What, in his, her, its defense, tranny Sarah Ashton never lost an F-35 jet fighter over North Kakalaki that I know of. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Ukraine recruiting Illuminati high priestess witch and as an ambassador to the Ukraine. So he has tasked spirit cooking high priestess Satanist Marina Abramovic to be an ambassador for Ukraine and to help rebuild the schools for children. As a spirit cooking Sabbatean Frankist witch, I'm sure she knows a lot about grading, sorting, culling, and harvesting children, just like Hansel and Gretel. Or was it Jeffrey and Ghislaine? Or maybe he wants to talk about the big sit-down meeting between Elon Musk and Israeli chicken swinger mob boss and Kang David wannabe, BB Nutty Yahoo. I liked how BB gently scolded that uppity Amalek Elon Musk about the dangers of free speech when it contradicts the mitzvahs about how goyim are just not allowed to question, criticize, or mock the Chosenites while they are at work by any means necessary to carry out their Tikkun Olam mission to fix the world because of the Holocaust, which you also can't question, criticize, or mock. Or maybe he just wants to talk about fishing. So welcome to the Snack Shack, Mr. Mike Gaddy, the rebel madman. And tell us, good sir, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Oh, Frederick, my gosh, I've spent the last 10 minutes laughing my backside off, and I'm not sure exactly what I would like to talk about. Man, I tell you what, you covered it with such expertise, it's unreal. And if you expect me to pick one of those, you give this old redneck hillbilly North Kakalaki boy way too much credit.
All right. Oh, man. So how's it going today?
Oh, buddy, I tell you what, it is just a wonderful day here in South Georgia. And, you know, I know we don't have the altitude that I wish I was back in my beloved Appalachian Mountains, except for the fact that it has been taken over by the Marxists of America. But I still love those mountains, Frederick. I still love them because those mountains will never be Marxist.
Exactly. You know, these people do not have the connection to this land. And, you know, I'm one of those that, you know, I'm convinced that the Europeans came over after the last great ice age and had a much bigger presence here than, you know, Marxist schools will let on. You know, they always talk about the Asiatics that came across much later. And one of the big psyops here is all the businesses have this stolen land acknowledgement. Like, we acknowledge at Appalachian State University, even the Horn in the West outdoor pageant on their website, I noticed that they've got that. You know, we acknowledge the, you know, Native Americans that were here first, but they make no mention of the white Europeans that were here far earlier. And so that's why I just have no time at all for that whole, you know, well, you know, those Appalachian people, they stole that land anyway. And it's, no, we created a civilization in these mountains, you know, and it's just, it's so frustrating to see it be destroyed by a bunch of virtue signaling, you know, self-hating white people up here. You know, and they're, it's just insane. So back to you. What do you want to talk about?
Well, Frederick, please tell me that they haven't totally bastardized that wonderful pageant in Cherokee called Unto These Hills.
I haven't gone out to see that one in so many years. I'm almost afraid to. I mean,
me too.
You know, it was bad enough when I took some friends who have, you know, children now up to Tweetsie for the first time after I had come back to these mountains and realized they had completely changed the Tweetsie drama when you get on the, you know, the train and the Indians attack. Well, now they've totally turned it around where, you know, the white guys are all bumbling idiots and the, you know, the Indians are the noble savages that agree to let the train pass this time. But, you know, next time they may not be so generous, right? And in my day, you had Fred Kirby and Calico coming out, guns blazing, you know, as the savages are attacking the train, which was the reality up here, and, you know, taking care of business. And he was the hero, right? And, you know, I don't know if you remember the Fred Kirby, you know, he was the superstar out of North Kakalaki for a long time, out of the Charlotte station, WBTV down there, Channel 3. You know, he was their guy, and he used to be the spokesperson for Tweetsy, and now, you know, that's what they're trying to, you know, they're trying to get rid of Fred Kirby at Tweetsy, you know, that's just what the mindset is here.
Oh, I tell you what, Frederick, it is just, you know, I grew up with, you know, there in the Appalachian Mountains with some wonderful Cherokee folks, you know, and one of my best buds was a Cherokee by the name of Walter Rattler. And, you know, we had some great time together. We played ball together. We did all kind of things together. You know, it was just a different world. We didn't have the Marxist socialist to worry about. You know, he was Cherokee. I respected that. I was a redneck hillbilly. He respected that. We had some great times together, you know, and it was one of the great pleasures of my life to be able to play fast pitch softball with some of these Cherokee folks that, you know, I remember so well. And, you know, the animosity wasn't there, Frederick. We had no animosity against each other. And I remember very well when Walter and a couple of friends of ours, you know, I think Ben Cucumber was one of them, and I know that will sound like strange language to people, but he was a Cherokee. And I remember, you know, us at a July the 4th celebration, and a Asheville Citizen Times reporter walking up to us in the group and ask Walter and the others, did they celebrate the independence of America? And Walter said, no, not really. Because he said, you do realize, don't you, that the Indians discovered Columbus, not the other way around. And, you know, the look on this reporter's face was unreal. But, you know, Walter was such a wonderful person. And, I really miss that relationship. But, you know, Frederick, it was such a wonderful world there in the Appalachian Mountains. You know, I remember in the 60s when it first came out, you know, the Appalachian Poverty Program under LBJ. And I remember my grandfather saying, well, you know, the terrible thing about this is these Appalachian folks didn't know they were poor until the government told them.
Exactly. That's the whole thing with that shaming philanthropy. You know, it's, you could, Marxists come into a perfectly working system and say, okay, we need to have division, so we've got to look for a problem to exploit to justify our existence. You know, and this is how they operate. They come in, they create a problem, and then they set about to, you know, fix it. And what they mean when they say fix it is to destroy the existing system and replace it with one that they're in charge of, either overtly or covertly. And that's the way they work. And like I said, we had Mayberry up here. When I was a kid, it was a high trust white Christian community. You know, now it's this dystopian nightmare. I'm a stranger in a strange land surrounded by hostile strangers. You know, that they just see me as, you know, you're the thing that needs to be removed from the equation up here. You know, and it's just, this is madness that this has happened so quickly in this country.
Oh, absolutely, Frederick. Do you remember VISTA? Volunteers in Service to America.
Oh, definitely. Virtue signaling. That, you know, up there with the Peace Corps, you know.
Yeah, well, Frederick, I remember the first VISTA worker that ever came to my county. I'm not going to name it here because I don't want to get anybody into trouble. But my county there in the Appalachian Mountains, I remember the first VISTA worker who ever came there. They actually found her at the county dump wrapped in barbed wire. But she was still alive. I mean, they didn't do her any harm. They just wrapped her in barbed wire and took her to the county dump. Would that we could do the same thing to these Marxists now, buddy?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know if you heard that, you know, Josh Stein, the North Kakalaki Attorney General Boy Wonder with Kane Cooper, came to Appalachian State University last week to announce that he would be running for North Carolina governor to replace Cooper when Cooper's terms end up, right? And then he proceeds to go through, you know, how his Jewish parents, Holocaust survivors, came to North Carolina to make everyone follow the words in those documents of the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal. And, you know, they had, you know, Nazis and Klans firebombing their house, but they stuck it out. And it's just, you know, he's saying, okay, my parents were trained Marxists that invaded North Carolina to destroy what was here and replace it with a Marxist system. And, of course, he's just getting standing ovations, you know, at Appalachian State University because he's such a great guy. And, you know, that's, he's all for diversity and inclusivity and equity and all. And, you know, that's the mindset of these people is, you know, we've got to destroy these existing, you know, Western civilization and replace it with this, you know, horrible dystopia. And that's fixing the world. And well, I'm again it.
Well, I'm again it too, Frederick. Are you talking about the Appalachian Mountain Queers?
Yes, the Mountain Queers. Go App State.
Well, you know, ironically, when I grew up in the wonderful mountains of Appalachia, they were the Mountaineers. It's funny how Marxism has changed our home. Right, Frederick?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, it started out with a teacher's college to serve the people of the Appalachian Mountains, right? And now that has been weaponized against the people of the Appalachian Mountains. Local people need not apply. That was one of the big things, that this will create local jobs. It will create qualified teachers to teach in our public school systems, right? And now it's, you know, locals need not apply. You know, when Sherry Jezebel Everts came in, she emasculated the entire staff. All the old white Christian Heritage Appalachian professors were immediately canned or demoted. And she brought in her Globo Homo staff. And it was just this big emasculation fest where, you know, this is girl power up here now. And then you had the Schaefer-Kike-Dyke twins move in with their billions of monies from daddy's ill-gotten gains from running the Claire's racket at the malls, right? But, you know, it's all Chinese stuff made by slave labor that they made their billions on, teaching young girls how to be prostitutes, basically. And, you know, they're here with their good friend, you know, what's her name, Gloria Steinem, you know, to empower the women of Appalachia. And they have all of these groups like Appalachian Women Farmers, whatever. And they're the ones that are at the flea market or at the farmers markets, you know, basically running gang stalking operations on all the traditional people to see if they're, you know, wrong think amongst the crowd and bringing in queer farming, right? And, you know, all this pride stuff, and it's all just NGO warfare by these Jewish interests, and it's to destroy what is here. But the whole time, they're just waving their pride flags like, we are making so much progress here.
Well, Frederick, I got a question for you. You know, it's been a couple of years since I actually walked the ground of my ancestors there in Yancey County, but one of the things that I wonder about those of you who are still there, can you feel the ground tremble from our ancestors spinning in their graves at all of this crap?
Oh, that's the thing. It's, you know, I always talk about the Wade Harris Bridge and how the ghosts of the Wade Harris Bridge are spinning in their graves, that, you know, they lost their lives trying to bring, you know, food to these mountains and materials to these mountains. You know, in that, you know, infamous Wade Harris Bridge that so many truck drivers lost their lives coming from Appalachian, you know, the Boone region down to North Wilkesboro. You know, that run was one of the most dangerous trucker runs. But these guys were doing it because they were, you know, building something up here, right? And, you know, to have their descendants just completely just handed over to the third world and the chicken swingers, and, you know, that's supposed to be fine, that, you know, they made the sacrifice. So I, you know, thinking about someday writing the country songs about how the ghosts of the Wade Harris Bridge are going to, you know, haunt all the chicken swingers in New Boone.
Oh, wow, man, I tell you what, that is, you know, I met so many of my ancestors, including my grandfather, who lived into his 100th year. And I remember very distinctly my conversations with him that he had with many of our ancestors who were Confederate veterans, and his conversations with them, Uncle Montreville Ray on his mother's side, and his grandfather, Bill, who was an officer in the 37th North Carolina. And I remember those conversations. And Frederick, I tell you what, I cannot imagine deep inside of me what it must be like for them to realize everything that they fought for, everything that they cared for. Those mountain redneck hillbillies, whatever you want to call them, you could bounce a musket ball off of their pride. They were extremely proud of being who they were. And, you know, one of the greatest blasphemies in history is what you have described to me over the past 2 years of what has become of our ancestors, the philosophy of our ancestors in those wonderful Appalachian mountains. Because with those people, Frederick, as you well know, was the very spirit of rightful liberty and freedom. And that has been so bastardized by these damn Marxists. It's really hard for me to maintain my composure when I think about that, and when I think about the wonderful people in Appalachia that I grew up with. And I can't even imagine. I remember my grandfather telling me on his 97th birthday, "Boy, if you live near to be the age that I am now, I would not want to see what you're going to see." And it, Frederick, it hits me right between the eyes almost every day how right he was of what was going to happen. And the question is, and I ask you, how did they know?
Yeah, it's so frustrating because, you know, that great utopian dream of self-rule, personal rights, the ability to keep what you produced, have your families, have your communities, independent living. The folks of the Appalachian Mountains were making the great experiment work. Despite my constitution being snake bit from day one, we were making it work. And that's what had to be destroyed, because these people don't want the great experiment. They want the great work. Echo, echo, echo. They want their new world order. And so to me, the people of the Appalachian just are, you know, the direct opposition to these Zapatean and Francis globalists, you know, and that's just my take. And that they can't see it, because I always go back to, you know, garbage in, garbage out, that, you know, you make your worldview up by the data you're given. And we were fed all this equality BS, and now the reality is that they knew it was wrong, but they were telling it to us anyway, right? And so anyway, we're getting ready to come up on the break. You're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack with our special guest this evening, Mr. Mike Gaddy, and talking about the corruption of the Appalachian Mountains. And so we're after the break, we're going to open up the phone lines. Love to hear what you have to say. So anyway, we'll see you after these messages on the other side.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day. And in times of emergency, we have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman, it ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
Well, alrighty, we are back. You're listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackbird. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Trading Post. And our special guest tonight is Mr. Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman. And we're going to open up the phone lines now. And so if you'd like to call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 or toll free at 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, if you still have resource, please, 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 please give some to RBN so we can keep this network and shows like this on the air. You're not going to hear this kind of hate facts anywhere else. I can guarantee you that. So please, please, please support the network. All right, we've got quite a few people lined up here. So, Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Gregory from California, please? Mr. Gregory, you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Hello?
Greetings, good sir. Happy Saturday.
Yes, happy day. Happy up on this side of the planet day. Hey, love the show. I mean, Michael, Ben, you, Black Bear, I tell you, you are inspirationally truthful. It just, I get this fine, good tone when I listen to y'all of, you know, what you're having to say. It reverberates, really makes so much sense. It's just mind-blowing, actually. That's all I got to say right now. Tally-ho. Be well.
All right, great call. Thank you so much.
Oh, and don't forget, anarchy is the only way to be. And let's go back to the Articles of Confederation. Why don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
look and see what they were saying, right? What was the deltas? We say, what was the changes? Okay, Mr. Producer, we have Francis in North Carolina, please. Francis, are you there? Francis, going once. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hey, fella.
There you are. Hello. Happy Saturday.
Touché. And in the American Indian tongue, CO, for that matter, in the commentary I heard about that earlier, the last time I had been to a powwow was back in 2018 or 2019, before they had this whole 2020 Corona BS fiasco kick up and so forth. So I'm missing those days of going up to the mountains and so forth and taking in the sights and the sounds, the smells, and hearing nature around me and the people living their lives with everyone around them and so forth. And practicing their arts of nature as far as their fiber arts, their ceramics, their jewelry making, you name it, basketry, and so forth, ad nauseam, which this day and time, a lot of people think are extinct. They are not. They're still alive and well as far as the artisans are concerned. And basically practicing their livelihood, which a lot of people think is hokey or whatever. Well, guess what? If you forget about what your artisans do, then you are going to end up missing a great link to your future due to the so-called technology, mechanically speaking, because you're forgetting about what your ancestors did, your relatives did, your great-grandparents did, uncles, aunts, you name it, and so forth, ad nauseum, and what they tried to teach you when you were a young squirt and barely went behind the ears, knee-high to a grasshopper. So, aside from that, I didn't mean to unload that on you, but oh well, till I be.
Great observations. Mr. Gaddy, now, comment on Ms. Francis.
Well, that was a great comment from Ms. Francis, but I was just struck, very much about the artisans. I know that I loved the artwork, and I was fortunate enough in my life to live on two other Indian reservations, the Navajo and the Tohono O'odham tribe. And I was able to live with those people in close proximity. I had a great respect for their heritage as they did mine. And we had some wonderful conversations about that. But Frederick, thought just popped into my mind as we were talking. How many Marxists does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, I give up. How many Marxists does it take to change a light bulb?
It takes five. It takes one to hold a light bulb and four to spin the ladder.
There you go.
Now, I do have an ironic question for you. I hear the comment about global homo, And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's a horrific thought, because if everybody in the world was gay, then there would be no propagation of the human species per se, because, well, women wouldn't like men and men wouldn't like women. So how are you going to propagate outside of a test tube? So that was a bad joke.
The one thing I can tell you, Francis, and I'm sorry, Blackbird, Frederick, I'm sorry for jumping on this, but let me tell you, as long as there are Appalachian hillbillies alive, you don't have to worry about propagation.
Oh, that was a good
Francis,
one.
Thank you so much for the call. I hope you have
a
great weekend.
Have a good weekend. Play hard.
Thanks, Francis.
Okay. Thank
you. All right, Mr. Producer, I'll see here. First off, got a special fundraising message that we needed RBN about $1,000 to get through the end of the month. And so that's with staff not getting paid. So you can please send your check or money orders to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rocks, Texas. That zip code is 78664. Or you can call 1-800-724-2719 extension 3 to donate there. So please, 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 if you still have means, please donate to RBN. Okay, Mr. Producer, could we have Mr. Lark in Texas, please? Mr. Lark, are you there, sir?
Well, I am indeed. Howdy, gents.
Greetings, good sir.
You know, I thought I'd throw something up at y'all since you're from Appalachia and that neck of the woods. Now, you know, I'm a Florida boy. So I grew up revering people like Osceola and Francis Marion, for example. But for whatever it's worth, Daniel Boone. I understand Boone is named for Daniel Boone. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, here's a useful search term for y'all, because I've been looking at this phenomenon for a dozen years or so when I discovered this word Melungeon. There's an untold tale about American history because people today ignore the influence of so-called Melungeons. And, of course, the word is spelled M-E-L-U-N-G-E-O-N. You can go to dnaconsultants.com and type in, for example, Abraham Lincoln and his Jewish roots. And you'll discover that Abraham Lincoln was Melungeon. Elvis Presley was Melungeon. So many people in the country and Western music industry are Melungeon. Heather Locklear, the actress, is a Melungeon. But here's what I thought I'd throw at y'all. Here's the title of the article. Daniel Boone was Jewish under a Quaker cover. And remember, the Quakers, the Society of Friends, was actually founded by a Jew by the name of George Fox over there in England. Remember, Tricky Dick and Pat Nixon, they were good Quakers. We forget about that. And there's a whole history that I could go into, but that's the story. Daniel Boone and the Melungeons. Daniel Boone was actually Jewish, but he was operating under a Quaker cover. So maybe y'all haven't had a chance to digest that, but perhaps y'all would be interested in examining this story of the Melungeons in history. Because don't forget, people like Francis Marion and Osceola were also Melungeon. In other words, just people of mixed heritage. They call them also, these Melungeons, the lost tribe, shall we say, that settled the Americas. Anyway, your comments?
Mr. Mike, what do you say?
Well, I just noticed that Lark from Texas there, who said he's from Florida as well. Did you notice, Frederick, that he was trying to ingratiate himself with us Appalachian folks by saying y'all?
Yeah, that's only an affectation of mine. As you know,
okay.
I blend well with the Romans while in Rome.
All right, Lark. No, I had to get that in, buddy. I appreciate what you're saying very much so, but I had to get in that y'all thing because you folks down in Florida and Texas don't say y'all like we do up in Appalachia.
Yeah, y'all got it wrong.
No, y'all got it right. You got it wrong. Oh, a very, very great comment there. Very great comment, Lark. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah. I'll have to check into that. You know, one of the things I notice in Jewish intellectual circuits is, you know, the critical theory aspect of everything that, you know, you thought was true, we're going to tell you that it was actually not true. It's like, you know, so that idea of, you know, making Daniel Boone out to not be a white European guy, but to actually be Jewish, you know, that is very interesting. You know, it, always a lot of things in the woodpile, but, you know, the idea of using that to, you know, somehow pull down the mountaineer movement, you know, this idea of moving into these mountains, unto these hills, as they say, you know, well, it was actually a Jewish movement. And, you know, so therefore they're completely justified in taking over my hometown now. So it's just kind of curious. Anyway, well, thanks for the call, Lark. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Lark. And, hey, Frederick, let's not forget that bastard Abraham Lincoln was actually created there in the mountains of North Kakalaki.
Ah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, he was, but, you know, he was from a Jewish father.
Right.
And, you know, and so he, you know, we certainly do not in any way whatsoever accept that, that tyrant Marxist, yeah, as being from North Kakalaki originally.
Yeah, it's really weird when you get into the Jewish system and, you know, under the rules, only a Jewish mother can produce a true Jew. And so you've got this entire, you know, caste system, if you will, of Jews that are quote unquote bastards because they had a Jewish father, but a Goyim mother. But yet they are handled and used by the tribe, you know, and there's, you know, such a history of that. And that even comes out in the Masonic lore of, you know, where did Jubalah, Jubalo, and Jubalum come from, right? With the three ruffians that weren't part of the 12 tribes that were all in attendance. So anyway, Mr. Producer, can we have Chance in West Virginia, please? Mr. Chance, are you there, sir?
Gad man. BB and Gadman, LLC.
Greetings. Listen, happy Saturday.
Yeah, I'm an Appalachia resident for the last 14 years, but all my ancestors are all over in Hungary and Italy. Oh, speaking of Menendez, right? I'm originally from New Jersey, okay? We'll forgive you. What's that now? I didn't hear you.
We will forgive you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm ashamed to admit it myself, but I had to.
Okay.
This Menendez is a lifelong politician. When I was there, I think he got his start, right? He was a mayor of a town called Union City, which is 95% Hispanic. And this is going back in the 80s, I think, right?
Right.
He's as crooked as the day is long. As a matter of fact, listen to this. I think it was about in 2000, he was accused of going over to, I think it was Thailand, and doing the nasties with little boys. And I think he got away with that.
Yes.
Yeah, he got away with that. And I'm so glad he got his ass busted. Oh, I want to tell you something about Marxism now. On my daddy's side, right? Over in Hungary, there were many, many German settlements in southern Hungary. But when the communist Bolsheviks came in and took over Hungary, they caused such a division between the Hungarians and the Germans. They divided them after they lived for centuries side by side, because my daddy's side, they spoke German and Hungarian and wrote both German and Hungarian. And the communist Bolsheviks did the same thing that they're doing here in this country. They caused hatred among the Germans and the Hungarians. So So there's a lesson for people here in this country to how the communists operate. I've known it from my own family tree.
Well, that's
so there's a little lesson in history.
Information on Menendez. And, you know, the Methodist always lets you and them fight. You know, it's all about setting your enemies against each other. And that's what these people do. They are disruptors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're hardwired for that. So a great call, Mr. Gaddy. A comment on that?
Well, Frederick, I just wanted to ask you a question. Being a fellow Appalachian, hillbilly, redneck, whatever you want to call us, have you ever known a true Appalachian redneck hillbilly that couldn't tell the difference between a boy and a girl?
Are you asking me?
No, I was asking Frederick.
Oh.
Yeah. Of course, one of the things, you know, with the Menendez thing, the second wife, did anybody else's tranny gaydar go off with that image of his current wife? You know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's like, okay, what is this? Who is this guy? So, anyway, well, great call. You have a great weekend. Okay, Mr. Producer, can we have Robert in Illinois, please? Mr. Robert, are you there, sir?
I am. I'm
greetings. Better. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, I think I got to turn you up. Some reason the volume went down. Back in the day, they used to be able to tell whether or not somebody was Jewish, how they wore their raccoon cap. You know, did they only wear it towards the top of their head, or did it cover their whole head? So that was a big distinction.
I always look at the nose.
Well, that too, but if it's sticking out of a bush, you can get that part first. But
yeah.
Frances made that call. She's like, I missed you guys even talking about it, where she brought up the global homo. Now, the global homo is because they've been trying to homogenize globally. So then one dude came out and he's like, he started coming out with this term, they'll shorten it because it's global homogeny. Everything's got to be the same in their image, the way they want to design it all. And then this one dude came out and he's like, oh, global homo. And then he started thinking about it and goes, maybe I shouldn't say that. But we, us intelligent ones, have picked it up to, because it's a dual meaning. Not only are they trying, the globalists trying to homogenize everything and destroy what we know into their image, this blandness across the globe. Everything's just like Operation Lockstep. Everyone's following suit. But it has a dual meaning because they are global homos, because many of these, as we know, these perverts, these creeps, they're homosexuals, bisexuals, trannies, you name it. They're every perversion under the sun. So the global homo fits perfectly well.
I totally agree. Mr. Gaddy, comment.
Well, one of the things we know for sure, Frederick, is if us dumb-ass hillbilly rednecks will just leave these people alone, they will destroy themselves.
Well, the issue is they won't leave us alone enough to leave them alone.
Well, they don't want to, but that's why God made guns.
Right.
Yeah, your point is perfect though declaring your plan was about making all the Goyim this brown mongrel race. And the Kalergi actually called it a mongrel race after you homogenize, all the brown with the black and the white, and leaving the Jews to be the royalty over that. But then, the other aspect of this is the Zabatean Frankist Illuminati. The inner circle is all, totally homosexual. And so, the globo homo definitely fits into the New World Order that, yes, they are trying to homogenize us, but they are also this degenerate homosexual mafia. So, great call. Okay, Mr. Producer,
Very good.
We have Catherine in Virginia. We're running out of time here. I want to get to everybody, so I'm not trying to be rude. But Ms. Catherine, are you there?
Everybody.
Greetings. Happy Saturday.
I always knew about Elvis and Lincoln being Jews, and Lincoln was supposed to be from the Springsteen family. I don't know if they're related to Bruce Springsteen, but somebody said recently that Bruce Springsteen's family was actually very rich, and the fact that Lisa Marie married Michael Jackson, you know, you find that Jewish women, they don't have any particular preference. Like, they'll marry and mate with black men more than Christian white women. But also, when I looked up Melungeons, I always knew that they forced the Irish women who were indentured servants to mate with black slaves. And it said in Wikipedia that Melungeons were the mix of Irish women and black men. Are you there?
Yes.
Also, have you ever, you know, there's so much history that we're not told about. One thing, as far as Appalachia, is I've heard of tunnels that go into Appalachia that come from very distant places, even from Europe. But also the Phoenicians, you know, they came to the Americas, and I've heard constantly of Egyptian ruins being found in the Grand Canyon, and the Smithsonian just comes in and snatches them up, and nobody sees them again, just like they do with the giant bones that they, you know, farmers would constantly find. And, you know, they just make the mistake of reporting it, and they'll never see it again.
Oh, very well articulated, and that is true. And I remember my grandfather taking me into the mountains of Appalachia and showing me caves and tunnels, which he claimed were made by the indigenous people of the mountains at that time, in other words, the Cherokees. But a quick question, Catherine, do you know what a Jewish woman thinks when she's making love?
For some reason, I was picking up ESV, and I knew it was going to be something dirty. But go ahead.
Well, no, it's not dirty. It's just the Jewish woman usually thinks in the middle of having sex, ah, beige. I think I'll paint the ceiling beige.
So bad.
But I can't help myself, Frederick. I'm sorry.
This is a family show here. Come on.
I'm sorry, Frederick. I'm sorry.
There goes my ratings.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I had heard that about the Irish and the sub-Saharan blacks being the reason why American blacks had about 10 IQ points more than a traditional sub-Saharan black. And that was due to the mixing with
blacks,
the Irish.
Blacks have been so fed so many lies, and because they're that stupid, they believe it, but they actually believe that there were massive rapes of black women that have produced the light-skinned American blacks, and not the other way around.
Yeah, the rape of black women statistically just isn't there for some reason. I just can't understand why.
Such a strange thing. Frederick, why did God create alcohol?
I give up.
To keep the Irish from ruling the world.
Oh, that's even better.
Well, you know, the Irish had
anything
a very
else? We're
kind
of about to run out of time. I want to give Mr. Gaddy the last word here. I'm already gone. So, Miss Catherine, have a great weekend. Mr. Gaddy, last word, real fast.
Frederick, it's always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you so much for inviting me. God bless.
All right, Mr. Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman. You have been listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out this evening. I hope everyone has a great weekend. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
Amen. Support RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.